Disclose.
Have we done it?
Hello, welcome to the Dunsmore Game. I'm your host, Rob, potentially. Welcome to the chat show where we do talking. It's the 4K's adjacent show.
There you go.
There we go. Joined by Pete, who's patiently waited this entire time, and Val, who's also smashing face all day. How are you both, and are you both well?
Well, I'm fantastic. Evil twin Rob.
Oh, it worked. Yes. Is it live?
It did. I'm looking at us live on Twitch right now. You have launched the space shuttle. The show.
No one else is watching. It's just us.
There's 15 people in. Those numbers will steadily climb.
Steadily climb to 16 people.
Hopefully to 69 people at some point would be the flawless.
So far, the Russian bots so far are here. And then, anything over and above the Russian bots is gravy.
Thanks to the Russian bots and to Yoda Goodsell for subscribing. I can see all the things. You guys keep going. What's cracking? It's been an interesting week, eh?
Why? What happened?
The FAQ.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. The FAQ. Cool. I thought you meant the armed insurrection in the United States of America. My bad.
thanks for doing that for me. Both are topical, ultimately. And I wonder if there's, I don't know if anyone's been able to make a relatable joke between the two. I haven't as of yet.
I'm sure someone has.
Other than the fact that I've continuously heard journalists refer to God Emperor Trump, and it breaks my heart every time.
Who did that?
Just because like it's like a common phrase. So in like a lot of these formerly known as parlor groups.
Do you want to take a moment for yourself? You really enjoyed that.
Woo! Oh man, that was the best. That was the best. And I know it's cynical, and there's all kinds of reasons why it happened, and it's hypocritical and all that stuff. But that's fine. It's fine because it's also amazing. And they keep referring to, so like I've heard like, because I've been listening to every podcast I could possibly listen to. And certainly yesterday I was doing a Washington Post podcast, and he referred to God Emperor Trump as what his followers call him. There was no Warhammer 40K tie in there, but it seems to be kind of a common turn of phrase.
Very common. It's it's pretty wild. Pete, you got any thoughts on it?
No.
Are you doing okay? How is it in the cold north?
It's cold. I mean, it's actually pretty warm. We have a bit of a warm stretch the last couple of days. It's only been about minus 10 degrees the last week, so I've been able to go outside and see the sun for the hours it's up, and just living my dream, living my frozen nightmare.
You sound a bit throaty. Are you okay?
I've been throaty for like a month and a half. It's just something that's going on in my chest. I don't know. Maybe there's an alien in there. I got my dirty leaf water with a little bit of bee vomit, and we'll see if that helps me a little bit.
I suspect it has to do with the 0% humidity.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Or chestburster.
Chestburster. Could be that too.
Well,
or you got the spirit in you.
That's a song, isn't it?
Who by?
The spirit?
I got the spirit in me.
No, that's you got the something in you.
Yeah, that's right. But I think he says me at some point too. Bam. Got
it. Something we'll pull through. Don't give up. It was the New Radicals. You got it.
Yeah, the New Radicals. Radicals.
Yeah. You only get what you give.
We've been quoting the New Radicals. We quoted the Veronicas for Rob when we got the setup.
Marilyn Manson, you're all pricks, run to your mansions.
This guy's got it.
I don't think I've listened to the Veronicas.
We should just sing.
I'm pretty sure Rob did backup vocals on that song.
We should just sing copyrighted material throughout the entire adjacent show and see what happens.
See, we're reviewing the social cultural impact of the New Radicals. Therefore, we can use their shit.
Oh, I see.
Agreed. Agreed. I don't know any of the songs that you were trying to sing. TV show in the UK. I don't know if you've ever watched it called Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
I know that.
Is that a play on Nevermind the Bollocks? Yeah.
Nope, it's not that. But it's a very famous TV show that we had hosted by, I'm not really sure what the job description is, most sarcastic and nastiest TV host you can get. But then they have celebrities come on, and then they do, it's a music-based quiz. The Nevermind the Buzzcocks, quite famous. There's been several walkouts. Some famous people have walked out. I think at one point, one of Michael Jackson's brothers threatened the host live on air, which was quite fun. Unrepentantly fun. So if you've got some YouTube time, Never Mind the Buzzcocks highlights.
Always have time.
Will cheer you up. Plus some great tunes available at the same time.
Yeah. Now, just so we're clear, Never Mind the Buzzcocks is clearly a reference to the seminal album released by the Sex Pistols, Never Mind the Bollocks.
I think it was, maybe, potentially.
Must be. There's no way that it's not.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Well, either way, great TV show. If you get the opportunity to YouTube some bits, I'll find some clips for you later. You'll love it. So, are you both well? Pete, I asked you, you said you're a bit throaty. Val, you been okay? You've loved the past week.
Great. I'm great, man. I'm great. Life is great. Life is good. Except for yesterday. Read some other stuff that led me to believe that maybe I shouldn't be so joyous. But, you know, whatever.
Well, what does that mean? What are you joyous about, and what has made you unjoyous?
What am I joyous about? I was hoping that, you know, that, you know, while we thought things may have been really messed up, that, you know, that things were, you know, not going to be able to be reconciled, that now that you can score at the end of the turn in turn five, you know, I think that balances things out.
You got me back in with the FAQ. All right. Well, so, I mean, that's pretty big, the FAQ. What does everyone think? Pete, you got any thoughts on it? Or many?
I think, like, I've got lots of thoughts. I think, like, 98% of the FAQ is super awesome. Like, a really good job across the board, about as good as we're ever going to get, I think, in terms of fixing something that only needed some small fixes anyway. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty glowing. I would agree. I don't think that there's anything there that I don't like at all. One of the things that I thought about on Thursday, when we talked about on the Thursday show, was how starkly different the changes to in this FAQ are to the very first 8th edition FAQ, where, like, this FAQ is like, here we're trying to make the game a little bit more interactive and fun, and then the first 8th edition FAQ, they're like, oh shit, we've reinvented the game, try this. Which is a significant step forward, I think, for all of us, which I think big thumbs for me, ultimately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for Nikos, the 2% is mostly point stuff, and then a couple wording issues with a couple of the FAQs that have led to some confusion that will probably get cleared up, I imagine, in a month or two.
I was going to say, not only did the first FAQ in 8th edition, like, fundamentally rewrite the game, every FAQ for probably the first year and a half did that. Like, there was, like, the different phases of 8th edition were kind of awesome, because they just significantly changed every time. Like, the way they, like, because almost every big fact, there was a shift in the character rules and the fly keyword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it would just change the game. Like, and I, you know what? It was no burden. I really liked that period of time where you couldn't just jump over screening units, because it was a lot easier to play.
The change to point scoring does dramatically change how this game is played, though. That fifth round point scoring is massive. Mm-hmm. That will, like, drastically change strategies of top level play for sure. Yeah, at all levels of play, but
yeah. I think that's the key takeaway from me, is, like, yeah, it's going to change drastically. Do you worry that it's going to, I know obviously you're going into it, do you think it's going to be, because it's a big tempo shift, right? Because it's really, you're thinking about turns 1, 2, 3, you're thinking about like what's going on there, but then turn 4, you're thinking about turn 5. Obviously, turn 1, you're thinking about turn 5 as well, but more specifically about moving your units around, like it drastically changes that preceding turn for the later turn for that last game, that's the last bit of scoring, or do you think it's really only going to be reactive in the fifth turn, if that makes sense?
I think it's going to change how you approach your fourth and fifth turns in almost every game. An easy example is like you can intentionally, depending on how your game's going, duff your fourth round to, if you're going second, to know that you'll probably max your fifth, right? Because you get to just jump on objectives at the end. So there's going to be some really interesting strategic play there, where if you're like, man, I'm only going to probably score 5 on round 4, going second, I might as well just jump off all objectives and hide or engage so that on round 5, I disengage, pop on the objectives I need to score my 15, and just, win out that way. Like there's little things that you're going to be able to do now that are much more intriguing to me when you play the objective game.
It's also interesting, like there's just a definable end game. You know what I mean? Like both players get an end game scenario, whereas before only one really had one.
Yeah, the second player was relying on secondaries, right, to define their end game. Now at least they'll have a primary chance. It'll be interesting to see if this spikes going second too much, like it moves the bar too far in the other direction. I don't think it will. As people get used to the way it plays, but it's definitely interesting. I really like it.
So there is also a really nuanced shift, and it's also something I think that hasn't been getting much talk, but just the shift in the fact that you can't choose to go first or second anymore. Mm-hmm. And there was limited, but some data on that, wasn't there, Pete? When I think ITC Battles maybe tracked that, or somebody tracked it at a few events.
Yeah. So. Best Ghost Pairings does track it as well, although a lot of people don't select it properly. There's a bunch of issues with it. But yes, ITC Battles app has that as an option. So we've seen some limited results on that in terms of, picking, rolling, winning the roll to go first or winning the roll to determine who goes first and whether you chose to go first or not. So we do have some win rate stuff there. There was a little bit of grumbling on that one because it seems to remove a certain aspect of skill from the pregame. Nah. I'm not sure it's that big of a deal, because while they're correct in that, yes, if you think that way, it does limit some of yours over the course of like all of the games you play, it will even out. Just mathematically, that's just how it works. So in the end, it will just be a situation where you can't control it, but like the times that you get what you want are going to be the same no matter what, the amount of times.
Yeah, I think it just, to me, it's because it removes a variable. I think it should invariably reduce that first second turn gap.
Oh, for sure. No, you're correct. And I'm quite sure that's why they did it, on top of trying to, slow down decision paralysis in the pregame. Stop decision paralysis. But
I highly doubt that had any factor in it.
That's what they said it did. So
they said in addition, I think that felt like something they were just telling people because it's hard to explain why it makes a difference. but I think it's good. I think it's good because now both players are essentially deploying with the same assumptions, therefore, and then once the game starts, you essentially have to have plan A and plan B, which is kind of neat. So you have to know what you're doing in both scenarios, and
I mean,
that's
cool. You should have anyway, but yes, this hopefully
unless you reinforces. Win the roll, and if you win the roll, you only needed your plan A. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like if you've built a list and everything, you should already have both those plans in play before the roll starts.
You don't tell me how to play this game, Pete.
Well, so actually one of the things I'm excited about is actually it makes the last turn pretty exciting coverage wise.
Yep.
Like that's an exciting game, like last turn. Which is like, and Nick was said on the show, and I think it's fair. Sometimes it feels like that you wouldn't even play the bottom half of round 5. You'd be like, what's the point? Nothing's happening here. So like, you don't have to play it. Whereas now it's like, if it's close, if it's close, there's some stellar turn, bottom of turn five, potential like overturns. Like, yeah, like if you're using something like WTC scoring, so it's about variance, then maybe it's not that big a deal. But if you're just playing flat out, like win-win sort of setup, where it's just those points, someone sneaking that point to tip them over turn five, bottom of turn five, is massive.
Well, I mean, if you consider like the fact that like player two is now going to go from probably getting like very potentially not getting any primary points in the last turn because he's been blown off of all the objectives or obsect, now they have the opportunity to get 15 points quite easily. Mm-hmm. Well, not easily, assuming they have the army that can do that, right? Like that still has stuff left over and all that good stuff. So it's, yeah, it's a massive shift in how games will finish. And all of the ETC people are probably so happy because they missed their end of game objectives. And now you have a built-in end of game primary for all those ETC players out there going second or whatever the hell they call themselves now. WTC.
There's a question in the chat. Falcon, do you think there is some cheap bottom of turn five units that now become viable? Or do you think the fact that you can't plan to be player two nullifies it?
I think that this increases the power of cheap transports if you have an army that actually uses them. Because now, you know, you might want to consider popping an impulsor in your list because they've kind of disappeared, just for the purpose of keeping a unit alive one extra round, depending on how you play, for this express purpose of jumping on an objective late game. I think really this more or less just strengthens armies that were already relatively strong. Like the armies that have been doing well are armies that are fast, that survivable. Can disengage easily and are survivable. So it definitely still helps them more than anybody else. With some of the point changes in the FAQ, whether they're real or not, then there are some new units that are definitely much better at doing something like this. Like, you know, Reavers for Dukari, which are hopefully either incorrectly pointed or pointed for a completely different stat line than what they have in their current codex. And Racks are very dumbly cheap as well.
I disagree.
I'd like to disagree
with that. Just because I love the idea of there being millions. I mean, not to play. And by the time you've painted up like 500 or whatever you need to play with, they'll eventually change it. Yeah, they made them 10 points each.
Well, you can only play like 27 Reavers, right? Like it's a fast attack choice. But so you can get like 270 points worth of them. But man, they are.
Wait a minute. 27 Reavers. How much is a Reaver these days?
10 points. They 10-point jet bike, you know, toughness 4, 2 wounds. This is one of the like points mistakes that, where it's either a mistake or like when the Drukhari Codex comes out. Because it's very clear.
That means that a Reaver jet bike is the same cost per wound as a Gretchen.
Yeah.
But it's like Pete says, it's an obvious mistake that like is going to be clarified.
Okay,
but there was,
it's okay, either cool. They pointed them as if they were Hellions, which is possible, or like when the Codex drops, they're just bad now, and so they're worth 10 points. Like either, one or the other, because these points are
cheapest wound you can buy. That can't be right.
Well, like not if they're down to one wound in the new codex,
but no,
right? Like their whole profile could change. Like it's very clear these points for Death Guard and for Dukhari and Dark Angels are all based on their new codex, not what we currently have.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, yeah, as the proud owner of now 30 fully painted Plague Marines, 21 points is finger guns good. Yeah, I went outside. Yeah, I sniffed a chicken. It's not finger licking good because I wouldn't eat a chicken, but I sniffed a chicken.
No.
Is how excited I was about.
I don't know. When you're licking your finger around a chicken, it means something different.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Isn't finger
it's
licking?
It's a sex thing, Rob.
What thing isn't finger licking good? Sex chicken. Wait, people fuck a chicken.
What? Is it a sex chicken?
Sex chicken. Oh. All right. Okay. Well, I'm excited about the Death Guard points. I think they're pretty good. I'm excited to see the Mephitic Blight Hauler change. You could pre-order this weekend, so this means this weekend we get to find out all the Death Guard stuff. They've gone up 30 points, so it looks like they're getting a kick-ass aura, or they're...
Yeah, or another mistake, I guess. Also a possibility.
So they got up 30 points about from 100 to 130. as the proud owner of.
That's the Blade Holler?
The Mafia Blade Holler, yeah.
The Blade Holler. I definitely know some people whose lists went up like 300 and some odd points because of it, and it made me laugh. I had a good giggle.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you spam the cheapest thing in the book. Yeah, when you go for that hyper efficiency in a day and age where they, you know, raise points all the time.
But the Marines look good. Like they seem pretty like on point. It'll be exciting to see. It's like Plague Marine stuff, but just chaosy stuff. Like I'm just excited about chaosy stuff. Like the demons. I want to read it. I'm fucking really excited about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm really stoked.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things is actually a longstanding rules nuance that matters only in a very specific situation that I'm going to waste your time explaining, which is when a vehicle is affected by a, what do they used to call it? Anyway, when it's affected by essentially like a plus or a minus, do the people inside of it get affected, because it used to say that they couldn't benefit from abilities or outside auras and things. And so TOs would always argue with me, because if your flash gets, if a unit is within 24 inches of another unit that blows something up, you get plus one to hit. And so that always said to me that if you were inside a warcopter or a truck, you would also get plus one to hit. And now they say you get plus one to hit, which is great. Vindication, boys.
Also something that's very good for Jukari, because you can make like sniper boats now and stuff, which is not a terrible thing.
What modifiers can be, what gives a Venom or a Raider a plus one or minus modifier?
It's the plus one to wound modifier from Dark Technomancers that a lot of people are like really excited about using with that. There's some sniper possibilities with like, the funniest one I've seen, JT from Play on Tabletop wants to do it, is like load up a the Forge World Tantalus.
Yeah.
Yep.
Load it up with guys with blasters and then basically use it to snipe people by giving everything the ability to do that, which is super cute and hilarious. But
anyway. Adorable.
JT loves his little combos, and the Tantalus is actually good now, or decent, so it's fun.
It's amazing what happens when you're no longer a Lord of War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Super handy. Mm-hmm. Overall, disappointed to see no real love for the orcs in that book at all, which sucked. Okay, KFF came down, and that very nuanced thing I just explained. But aside from that, no. Like, for example, Flash Kids, still 32 points a model.
But haven't they always been rubbish? Isn't that the point?
No, not at all. When they got down to, what, mid-20s? 24, I think they got down to?
Yeah, and they saw some play.
Yeah, and they're hilarious, man. Like, if they got down, if they got back, oh, man. Sucks. Just sucks. I love them.
So, do you think...
What?
Do you think it's because like we know that there's a new there's a new codex in the future? Do you feel like with the Flash Gears change, which is as you've said, like, but they had these points before, right? Like it seems like it's a weird situation where
it with the orcs, it looks like when they redid the points that whoever did it just looked at the codex and not like the chapter approved. So it looks like the orcs got modified based on. Like either inflated or deflated based on what their points were in the codex originally, which was significantly adjusted in future chapter approves. That's what it looked like to me, which is why something stayed cheap, like smasher guns, and stuff like that, where and other things just stayed incredibly expensive for some stupid reason. Specifically, flash kits. They seem to be very afraid of the power of flash kits. They don't want to let them be too good. They can. In their defense, shoot infinite times, which is amazing. And that's all anyone wants.
That's all I want.
That's all anyone
wants. I didn't know they could shoot infinite times.
Yeah, because you roll a six at the end after they shoot. So if you just keep rolling sixes,
then you could,
they just keep shooting.
Then you could re-roll it. What a dream.
Once upon a time, you could. I think it was... I can't remember how many orcs Pamperin killed with one unit of flash gets, but I think it was 90, like in a turn, by like... Just gunning. I think he shot twice and then charged and fought twice. And he just killed like 90 orcs.
That's pretty impressive.
It was cool.
So yeah, I personally, I think the FAQ is like looking pretty sweet. Like ultimately, I think they could have done more for internal parity of different codexes. Do you feel like the heavy hitters? So obviously, we saw Eradicators and Outriders go up by 5 points each, which feels fairly nominal ultimately, but maybe that's more of a big deal than that. Like maybe 5 points is fine, but doesn't seem like it.
5 points is. 5 points is big for Outriders because they were only on the cusp of play anyway.
Okay.
So them going up 5 points is probably putting them where they should be. Eradicators going up five. Eradicators had lost a lot of their luster of late, at least in competitive play. So that's probably appropriate as well. They'll still see play because they're still quite good. But, you know, people aren't running max Eradicators any longer anyway. 5 points on Plasma Inceptors, or Inceptors in general. It should have just been Plasma, but
what's the default kit on Inceptors?
Like the default kit as in what you purchase like in a box, because they come with both, but
no, I mean like in the point, because right now, so they've also, that's an interesting change actually to how they do the points. They adopted the style they used in the Imperial Armor book. So yeah. Everything has a default build, which is inclusive to whatever's listed as its point cost for the most.
So it's assault bolters.
Okay. Then that doesn't work.
So they increased all Inceptors by five, but it's really Plasma Inceptors that were the problem. Even with a 5 point increase on Plasma Inceptors, they'll still see tons of play because they're very, very good. So that probably could have gone up 10 even, and it would have been fine. Really the only unit that didn't get hit, and I didn't expect it to because of just like, if I feel like the timing on this FAQ is probably a couple months back, is Vanguard Veterans. They probably needed a hit in the Space Marine Codex and didn't see one, or just Lightning Claws in general. But, and then Oath of Moment not getting any kind of rewrite is interesting given how strong of a secondary it is.
An auto include, effectively. It's just free 15 points, isn't it?
For a lot of points, yeah.
Yeah, like it's wild. The thing I was going to say about the 5 point increase as well, I think is interesting because, yeah, we've seen some point changes up or down by one, but they feel like, it feels like to them there's like these brackets now. They're like, okay, we need to nerf a thing plus five or plus 10. That, you know, they're not sat there like there's not the deep math. They're not like, oh, is it 7 or 8 points up? They're like 5 or 10.
Yeah,
which seems like,
yeah,
which,
everything's round numbers.
Yeah,
which is fair enough, actually. Like, I don't know,
is it?
I guess it does. I guess it depends on. I mean, this is like, honestly, there's no model, right? They're not. It's not like they're like plugging this into IBM's Watson and like there's a glowing machine somewhere that's like, it should be 7 points. It's just not happening. But it's all gut feel, so really all you can do is tweak and see what happens. So I think generally speaking, their view of, with the exception of some extreme circumstances where they clearly just wanted to remove something from the game, especially in 8th edition, I haven't seen that yet in this one, just going up in increments or down in increments, I think is fair enough, because you never know what's, like what Pete was saying with the Outriders, which surprises me. I want to follow up on that. Like that could be enough just to bump them out entirely, whereas a 25-point increase on a squad of Inceptors, maybe not. But I was going to say, what's wrong with Outriders? Why? How are Outriders not getting played? They seem so good.
Yeah, because like they Vanguard Vets are better. Or are just as good, if not better. Blade Guard Veterans. Like, there's a lot of stuff that fill a similar or the same role and just do it better. So you don't see a lot of Outriders because Chainswords, even Astartes Chainswords, don't kill Marines very well. Mm-hmm. And Vanguard Veterans with Lightning Claws kill everything very well. Literally everything in the mm-hmm. game, because they reroll mm-hmm. all wounds.
That helps.
They have a similar amount of attacks, especially because they keep them after the charge. And they have a 4+ invulnerable save and a 2+ armor to counteract the losing the couple wounds per model.
I see that.
And they're cheaper. You know, they're 17 mm-hmm. points model cheaper.
I mean, this is a pretty comprehensive argument.
Yeah. So really, there's no, like, there's no real reason to run Outriders unless you're doing, like, White Scars. And yep. Even then, White Scars want Vanguard Vets more than
What about Dark Angels? Wouldn't those guys like, wouldn't some Ravenwing like some Outriders in their life?
I could see it, but most people running Dark Angels right now are kind of building towards Ravenwing characters with Deathwing Terminators in blobs.
Right.
So they can take advantage of stratagems.
So this brings me to my next point is, because I've seen a lot of like side mouth or like just like not impressed with like, oh, why did they nerf those things? They didn't need, Eradicators don't need to be nerfed, or like Outriders don't need to be nerfed. And it was confusing me why Bladeguard didn't get any bump. But I would say that it might be that they are oppressive or annoying at like not competitive tables. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Probably just because like Eradicators are probably spammed by people who bought two or three boxes of whatever. So,
well, and some of it's public perception, because we don't have a lot of hard data. So they will often go to public perception, which was that Eradicators were way too points efficient. And they were, like, it's just like that Marine Codex is so thick and deep that it didn't matter.
Girthy.
It didn't matter. I think for like the heavy hitters from all codexes, Harlequin's basically not getting touched is the interesting one. I'm not sure if they super needed it, other than being the strongest army, like math, at least from the maths perspective in the game.
You're saying maths now. You're hanging out with British people too much.
I said maths. I did.
Well, that's actually that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you both, actually, because more than anyone, over like a good year of a while for 8th edition, let's just put it that way, not a year. You guys obviously were tracking tournament information, peak information.
Yes, I was.
And then
yes,
you were. Well done, Val, you too. You were tracking stuff, and then obviously you were more than anyone like aware when the FAQs come out. Like actually, you've missed whole swaths of units. These units are on the rise. Like you haven't really got it. You're like, I know that you guys understood the delay that they.
Please
had.
Stop putting a plural on that. I'm just an idiot. I'm a foil to Pete. I'm here to annoy him.
But my point is, sorry, how do you feel that they've done without events for data? Because really, it feels like the only way that they've done this off is anecdotal, kind of like Facebook posts, and most importantly, for the first time ever, bat reppers. This is the only real way that they've had feedback, right? Like, people have been playing TTS tournaments, and yes, some people have been playing some games, but ultimately, versus the data they had the year before, they had, like, swaths of data the year before, and now they've had very little. And yes, they haven't changed much. I mean, they've changed how the game scores, which is pretty fundamental. But do you know what I mean? Like, are you quite impressed with the lack of data to the changes that you think need to happen? And then how does it stack up is my question. Does that make sense?
It does. I think that despite the lack of tournament data, we've got a lot of data. And the big thing is we've made it more visible than ever before. Like the granular stuff, right? Those Goonhammer articles using the ITC Battle App data, using like the RTT data, even being able to track who goes first. That's had a major impact in being able to, you know, say, hey, here's some actual issues with this game that may need to be adjusted. And we saw openly some kind of pushback from certain levels of GW that they didn't want to change anything because it was a pandemic and they couldn't trust data, and how that attitude changed, you know, from week to week to month to month. So I'm actually pretty happy with how they've done things, how they've kind of looked at some of this stuff, like a second time, let's say, rather than kind of pushed it to the side, because I'm not so sure in 8th edition, outside of like the really big bad issues, they fully like looked at the data, if you know what I'm saying. Like when Iron Hands were a big deal, yes, they looked at the data. There were a lot of other changes that were just made because they got surprised at Nova Open, right?
Anecdotally.
Like it wasn't like we could have said, if they'd paid attention, we could have been like, hey, this needs to be fixed in advance of what you're about to do. But often what they needed was to be there and see it like live and in color. So I think this is a big change for the better.
I think if I could just also add to that point, I think what you said there about just that the granularity and detail that's available now more widely. I think one of the cool things about what happened when Pete started doing the stats page is that suddenly people now had a basis for various arguments. So, and we've talked about this on the show before, people arguing. It wasn't all just completely pulled out of their butts about what they were saying about, well, X unit is good or X army is good. And then I think really what's happened subsequently is you have that data set, and then you have these guys at Goonhammer who are not only putting data sets out there, but they're also adding, I'd say, pretty cogent analysis to it. So now you have, not only popular like data that is, and I'm going to use this as my data hand, being out there to look at, but you also have people who are putting a fair amount of thought and regular thought into analyzing those numbers. And so that's shaping discourse too. So if these guys are driven largely by sentiment, which is how I feel it is, less so I'm going to look at all of these numbers in great detail. I'm going to plug it into IBM Watson and we're going to have a really good end thing. They're just seeing what are they getting yelled at the most, because the community now has, I'd say, some really good resources to drive that sentiment. So there's informed opinion. Mm-hmm. Perhaps, you know, the feedback that's getting back to GW is a little bit more intelligent rather than, hey, my unit that I really like sucks, or this guy beat me in my garage. You know?
That's a really good point. It's like crowd. It's like fan service, right? In films and other things. They're like, what will people like? But because there are smart people at the helm trying to drive a good conversation about like what needs to change, for example, so then the fans are all screaming for the same thing. So, you know, like everyone wants a deep, dark, well-told Star Wars story, you know, and if fans were actually crying out for that instead of saying herder lightsabers, then you'd be then maybe they'd end up with something different. So that's a really good point, actually. So it's, I do agree with you. I do feel like they do the points changes, and basically they change a lot of stuff based on public outcry more than they do like anything else. But do you think that might be because they have to learn to trust the actors involved in making those statements? If that makes sense, like, you know, like people like,
yep,
like, you know, a couple of years ago they didn't know anyone, like they didn't know, yep, anyone at all, and now they can rely on people and trust people and be like, actually, you know, you've steered us in the past sort of situation.
Yeah, well, they hired one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Brant was certainly, if not like the team lead, was definitely a vocal leader of the playtest group. So him being there, like him or not, like, he does have, I think, some influence over a lot of the, I don't know, things that wind up getting tweaked or changed via the FAQs. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, he was getting, I think, roasted pretty good in like the ITC, in a mystery group that I'm actually not supposed to talk about, but he was getting roasted a bit because he was saying that he, you know, more data was needed. And I think, you know, he was basically just flexing a bit of, I don't know, caution around a few things. And then I think ultimately it led to making one good decision rather than a series of tweaks that steadily got closer to the right answer. I don't know. In the final analysis, Pete, how do you feel about that? Because originally when he was like, more data needed, he got roasted.
Yeah, but I mean, the reason why he got roasted was like the examples that were given, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was more data is needed. I've played X amount of games and it's fine.
Right.
Versus, you know, we have 10,000 games that seem to indicate it's mediocre at best. Like, that was where that came from. Anytime anybody in that position, whether it was Mike or like in previous times, ITC, Reese, or anybody else has said, hey, we need more time, I've always appreciated it. Unless it was like a really serious situation, like say Iron Hands, where it was like obvious that we didn't need more time. Mm-hmm. And like, I've personally never knocked it other than like how, like other than the wording used. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I've defended Brant on that a couple times with other people where I've said like, he's totally fine to say like he can wait. It's a 2 or 3% move we're looking for. And that's not going to change most people's opinion of the game. So it's just something that we need to acknowledge and move forward. That's always kind of been my my like mantra when it comes to stuff in ninth edition is acknowledge that there's a potential issue and then move forward. And when, you know, you can make a bunch of changes, then just do it all at once. So I'm really happy that they did do it this way, rather than kind of overwhelmed us with FAQs that did nothing until mm-hmm. we kind of hit the nail on the head. So.
That's one of the interesting things actually to bring up as well, is this kind of like, not reset, that's not the right way to put it, but when they do bring out an FAQ and it's all of these changes all at once, it does reset the state of the game, which is
yes.
And I can understand people who are like quite frustrated, because I have seen some mutterings about that, like, why would I try and even learn the rules? They always change all the time, the points always change. I understand that frustration, that makes lots of sense. It's not been that long, but actually, ignoring Codex releases, it feels like it's a lot of changes, because obviously you had such a massive release with the Marines and quite a few other books and the edition launch. But from now until the summer, or maybe even probably from now until the summer, because that's when I guess the new chapter approved will start coming out in the summers now. You'll have like a 6 month window of like stasis, which so this has been happening in Age of Sigmar as well for a while, and I really, really like that. Because these 6 month blocks feel good, and it feels like changing everything at once is quite good, because then everything kind of gets to develop its own flavor and meta for over a 6 month period. Things do get mixed up when codexes are dropped, but everything else is just nice.
Yeah.
It's quantifiable. It's in this time zone. It's like next 6 months, next time zone.
Yeah. It's like the golden era of, eighth edition, which was, I don't know, loosely, how would we define it? Knights Codex to Space Marines?
No, it would have been a little bit after. It was there was probably like a 9 month period from the January 2019 chapter approved till September, October of that year, where everything was awesome. So like a 9 or 10 month period after they FAQ'd the Castellan up 100 points, basically mm-hmm. murdering it from the meta, where we had some spiky things like Custodes Grav tanks, but
yep.
for the most part, the game was like really relatively well balanced. There was only a couple armies that struggled, only one or two armies that were kind of huge. But even then, there was like, you know, 10 or 12 armies winning week to week pretty consistently, like different armies. So that was kind of the golden age of eighth. And then Iron Hand supplement dropped, and it was like a shit show for 6 months. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to add about the FAQ, I don't think. I'm just conscious of us starting late, if time's okay. Just check in.
Don't worry about it. It's fine by me. It's up to Al, really. I mean, I'm just probably going to end up staying awake until tomorrow anyway, so. Oh,
geez.
Good time. And when is tomorrow, when the sun doesn't come up, right? I mean, you're all right.
Exactly.
I'm okay for the time being. I will abruptly end the show when I need to leave. What was I going to say? Oh, I have one, which is on that 6 month schedule. If let's just assume that we were in a normal year, and this may have changed how things rolled out, obviously. But like, it's kind of funny to me that it's possible that we get sort of a January and June update, which would totally turn the LVO upside down, which already was kind of happening with chapter approved where it was, but at least that was an extra month. So I don't know. I wonder, like, that'll be interesting. It'll also be interesting to see going forward, because I don't know if you heard Reese talking on the last signals, but he was saying that if things had gone right, they would have had 8 events this year.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Which is nuts.
What, 8 40K? What, you mean him and the ITC guys?
It's essentially be 8 large scale, probably like very large scale ITC, frontline gaming style events. Atlantic City, New Orleans were ones he talked about. Las Vegas team tournament, and then a mystery for others that he referred to.
Well, BAO, SoCal, LVO.
Yeah. and
it would have just been
four well-established other things that happen every year that I forgot about for some reason. Yes.
Well.
So the question is, like, would that be enough to, like, provide tournament saturation in the United States? I don't know. Maybe. If there's a 256-player event essentially every single month.
Every 2 months.
This is my favorite show, man. Val's like, yeah, and like whatever these things actually, Val. Every month, actually, it's two.
I am well eight. It's like every month and a half, but there's other ones too in there. Yeah. Dicks.
Well, I don't know. I think having those 6 month blocks feel good to me. That's how I've always felt about them, and I've always been, or not always been, but I am more leaning to where Pete is nowadays as well with the FAQs generally and stuff from Games Workshop. I don't feel I can affect it in any way, so I don't feel any kind of like emotional overboil about what has happened and what does happen. Is the situation like, I think I really respect like big long analytical breakdowns of stuff. Like, I feel like the oath of the moment thing could be was seen very early as a problem, and it's just tuned in to be a problem, and apparently that's being ignored, and it's like, fair enough, cool. Like, not fair enough, but I just kind of just nod and like shake my head and walk away on it in those situations. I'm like, cool, if I play against the Marines, they get 15 points.
And it also might be one of those things where they're thinking to themselves, yeah, but once everyone else gets their books, they also get a free 15 points. So, like, it'll be fine. It might be that.
I don't think that's how the... Yeah, it doesn't matter. See, that's where my brain goes. Maybe the game shouldn't be like that. But then that's on me.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you think Arch40K is posting these days?
That's a good question.
It's been just a
pinup board, just a pinup bar board at his local rec center. Just pushing him in there.
I guess the real question is he even on a flyer list? Can he fly anywhere? Or if he can, I mean, the perfect situation would be if Arch Warhammer tried to fly somewhere, or whatever his name was, tried to fly somewhere, couldn't because he's on a no fly list, and then couldn't cross a border with his cheese sandwich. That would be the perfect. Mix.
Yeah, and his passport's also useless now. So
I think he's Finnish, actually. Is he? Yeah, he's.
He has the dumbest accent in the world. Maybe that is a good sign that he's not actually from England.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you guys aren't don't know who we're referring to a racist YouTuber who unfortunately
that's right.
Lost his unfortunately for him, not for us, lost his YouTube account, and it was hacked by the authorities for him being a racist. So that's good. That was a positive step in our community.
I actually just learned something. I was just referring to the fact that I bet he had a Parler group or an account on Parler, and didn't even know that he's also been deplatformed. That's just lovely. Wow. I mean, can this week be better? I mean, it's just great. This is great.
I thought you knew about that. I thought you saw like some of the shadow dealings on the interweb about it.
Well, I may have, but I mean, a lot of stuff going on at Val's desk.
Been a busy week.
A lot
of ins, a lot of outs.
It's been a...
Definitely.
Go, Pete.
Yeah. No, just it's, every time I'm about to sit down and do something for like the NOPEN, I check the news and I'm like, I need to sit for a minute and process what's happening.
Same. It's been a bunch, right? I want to ask you how the NOPEN's going, but I just want to say, like, yeah, like I felt the same. It's been really hard to take your eyes away from everything that's cracking off wherever. I mean, in England, they're not even feeding the kids. I don't know if you guys have seen this today. But
kids.
Well, because so you sometimes you get free, if you're poor, like when I was growing up, you would get free school meals. So you go into school and then you get they provide you with a free school meal, obviously because none of the kids are at school, and there was also already a thing about kids being like underfed anyway, and our government voted to not feed kids last year twice.
Yes.
Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then a famous footballer like started this crusade, and like everyone was like, oh my god, like. And then everyone was like on his side, and they were like, let's do it. So then it went back to Parliament, and then they were like, no, definitely let's not feed the kids. So bold move there. But the most recent thing that's happened at the minute is because all the kids aren't at school, obviously they deliver these free school meals at home to the kids.
Not obviously. In North America, this is actually also an issue, but continue.
Oh, okay. Well, but it's... what's been delivered has been pretty weak source but my point is that's just today. That isn't like an insurrection last week or everyone being removed off social media the day before. It's like
amazing,
you know. And there's just some like poor lad who just wants to drink a bottle of vino, drive over to France and eat a cheese sandwich. That guy can't even live his life. Like, it's been a week, is what I'm trying to say. And I actually think the hobby is really good for that, because I can just go, do you know what? I'm just going to look at the FAQ for 40K and see how I feel about that. Like, kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, it allows me to do that.
It is, yeah, it is a lot to grapple with. And the ramifications of a lot of this stuff, it's just going to unfold that at a breakneck pace too. And so, yeah, I guess it's probably not the best to make light of it, because, you know, things can go in all kinds of different directions. But it's nice to have outlets like this, people who can hang out with us in the chat and be like, hey, isn't that crazy? And then we can all just hold on for dear life and hope things get back to some level of normalcy at some point.
This is the new normal.
What? It's craziness is the new normal forever.
Oh, yeah. Forever.
Because, Pete, you were...
This won't stop.
You were... Because the whole, like... Because you were having a tough time. Oh, I don't want to say tough time. That's not fair. But, like, you were like, do you know what? I'm not dealing with the world. I'm watching Schitt's Creek and being chilled out.
It worked out real good for a while. And then I started watching, like, dark Finnish crime dramas because I ran out of good stuff. And then I was like, okay, I guess just back to this.
Have you watched Bridgerton yet? Because...
No, I refuse. That will not happen.
Oh,
that's a Bridgerton too far.
Look at that. I like it. I like it.
All right. Well, how's the planning for the Nopen going?
Good. Really good. Really good. We got all the lists in yesterday. We're waiting on somebody to tell me if they can get models before we move forward with setting up the pairings and making those public. Goonhammer's already started writing articles for all the pairings. All the guys are going to be doing videos from the streamers on what they're bringing and why they think it's going to win everything. So really excited there. We've got a lot of swag inbound. Our prize pool grows basically every day. There's going to be an announcement on that on... probably what, Friday, Val? Because I think we're going to set a 2-week timeline prior to the event where we're going to start showing everybody what they can expect to win if they tune in and do the things we ask them to do, if they dance for us like little puppets.
Holy crap. Yeah. Wow. Yep. Yeah, that would have to be on Friday. So I don't know if you noticed, Frontline Gaming has done a few different raffle draws driven by a cool website where basically you, as long as you go visit various links and things that we tell you to, you gain points or raffle entries, and then you'll have a chance to win cool prizes. They haven't quite confirmed yet what their top prize will be, but Reese has assured us it will be very nice. So you'll have that. We have Adam Abramowitz, of course, from the Army Painter. He's going to be providing 3 GTs worth of, I guess because there hasn't been any, he's probably got a bunch of stuff that he can give away. So we get to give it away for people. Pete's had other companies reaching out as well to try and get involved. So we're gonna have a lot of nice reasons to tune in, because we'll be announcing and doing the draws live on the Nopen. Also, Reese announced on Signals that we will be announcing the new venue for the Las Vegas Open in 2022.
Not Bally's.
Not Bally's.
It's definite. Like, Bally's is cool.
I'm livid.
This is an upgrade. This is an upgrade.
We're upgrading from Bally's.
They are. Yes. Bally's, it's going to, I know. I'm also it's sort of bittersweet to me too, Rob.
Can I just, if everyone at home not listening, Bally's is a casino in Las Vegas, obviously, but which has an Eiffel Tower attached to it. So how you're upgrading beyond that is, unless you're doing it where
that's
they...
That's Paris. That's next door. That's
next door.
What's Bally's?
That's next door.
No. Bally's has got Bally's a balloon, doesn't it?
It's just got a building.
But Bally's is just a big old stinky building. It's just it's literally the economy brand of Caesars.
Yeah,
I think it's part of the same ownership group as Caesar Palace. But yeah, Paris is attached to it, so you can walk to Paris.
I always walked through Paris. That was my favorite bit. I had lunch with the guys from Battle of Souls. That was an interesting time. Mm-hmm. It was super fun. What good memories. I've never eaten any food there. A fun new venue. That's cool. All right, sweet.
Yeah, yep. Super crazy venue. So that looks very exciting. We had a bit of a hiccup last week when you guys went into super lockdown on short notice. Mm-hmm. It looked like our UK guys wouldn't be able to play. But then Stephen Box from Vanguard Tactics, I asked if you could speak to some people to find out like what we would be allowed to do without it being shifty and shady. So he went to his local government office, went to the police and a few others, and got confirmed that all of our UK players were allowed to play as long as they were comfortable. So as long as it's as long as they're kind of playing in their studio or in their home, everything's good. So we were all set there. So they were all allowed to play, which was great because they were really bummed about all of the participants were really bummed if they couldn't. We brought in some backups in Scarry from Scarredcast and Dustin Henshaw, two great Canadian brothers who are going to help us out with some exhibition work. And if anybody needs to drop out due to COVID or other reasons, they will take their spot. So things are looking up real good from a play perspective. Val's working on the video stuff. I'm kind of handling talent, and it's all coming along.
Are you, Val?
What? Why are you laughing? Why are you having trouble breathing?
Val made an obs. I saw it. He made a nice little obs deck. So, like, obs? He's definitely done work.
Okay, I believe you. I believe you. No questions from
me. I made him get us our army painter stuff, so kudos more than I wanted or hoped for.
I have a whiteboard that I have written stuff on. All right. I'm working on I've got storyboarding shit.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited.
Kiss my behind, all right. This is gonna be I'm gonna use Google Earth to do some fly-ins. You can ask my B pal. This is gonna blow your friggin' mind.
I can't wait. All right. I'm very excited. No, ignore me. I apologize. I can't wait. How would you say all There's no scoffing. Uh-huh. It was just when Pete said Friday and you went, oh my, I saw you check the calendar.
I sure did. Well, actually, last weekend, I also wrote the gang being like, okay, so I realized that it's 3 weeks away. So I set a date for a dry run as the week before. So
it's been a thing because I'm the guy in our little group chat that's just like spamming it every day. Like, here's what I'm doing. What are you guys up to? And I feel bad about it. But then every now and then I'll mention a date and then someone will respond with, oh, yeah, because like we're doing all this with like within a month. But it's sometimes hard to remember that, you know.
Also, time has no
super short.
Time has no meaning. Oh. Right now. Things can like feel like a week, and it's been 2 days, and it can feel like a day, and it's been 3 weeks. So you know, it's good to have someone who's really on the ball.
So yeah, that's my job, is just to hound people. The Australians are all over the place. Friggin' Aussies always want to do their own thing.
Be impressed if they show up.
There are divas for this event, so we'll have to see how this plays out.
Really? The Aussies are the divas?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
They're super divas. They want to play their jank lists.
It's just because Liam Hackett's involved. That's the only reason.
Why. Oh, yeah. 100%. wants to play in all the games. He wants it, all 16 lists to be Liam Hackett lists. It's a thing.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck with it. I hope it goes well. Again, very much excited for everyone to see that smash. We've probably head out today. I don't have a way of ending the show because it's on the little computer that I've just set up. So, thanks to everyone for listening.
Oh,
go on, Pete.
Okay. I'm gonna plug something. If that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this weekend is the Hammer Out Cancer charity event. Because of COVID, Charity Hammer's not happening. It might happen later in the year. But Colin and Chuck and Mitch from the Best in Faction podcast are doing a cancer charity event to raise funds. They've got several thousand dollars worth of prizes themselves that they're raffling off throughout the event. All money is going towards cancer research, particularly to help a good friend of the community, a fellow by the name of Vince, super awesome guy. He's kind of in stage 4, bad news time. He's going to be participating. I'm going to be commentating on a number of the rounds of the event. They're doing a kind of like an RTT that's going to run basically 72 hours. It should be a good time. So check it out on the, you can go to charityhammer.com to find all the details.
Oh, sweet. Okay, yeah, great. Good shout out.
And is and there's the also the Aussies too. Is that next weekend as well?
Yeah, the that's the weekend after the Adelaide GT.
Right.
Or slash major.
Yeah. And they're streaming it, right? Cool. The Art of War Down Under guys.
Art of War Down Under will be streaming it. Yeah, it's looking to be like the biggest major event that we would have had for the 2020 season.
It's like the Mad Max LVO.
Yep. It very much could just basically change all of the standings for the year that didn't matter.
Is there anyone close enough who's Australian that they could actually take the lead?
I have no idea. I'd have to look. Probably, given that they, like, it might not look it right now, but there are a number of Australian events happening this week, next week, and the week after, like kind of before the deadline. So it's quite possible if they attend all of them. Like any of the guys that did the objective secured stuff, Pete, they might have a chance. I'm not sure. But.
Oh, man. Fingers crossed. Make it happen, Australia.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you both. Pete and Val, thanks for being on the show. Apologies about the tech issues at the start. Do join us again tomorrow. I'm not certain the breakfast, well, I'm pretty certain the breakfast bar won't be on in the morning because I'm going to get the computer fixed, but we'll be live tomorrow day for the stream street, so that'll continue, which is great. You guys have been great. There's no real way to end the show, and I kind of have to leave like a pause.
Okay.
at the end, so at the end of the pod end. So I'm just going to end with this image of two wonderful people. One's an Australian, one's a New Yorker, and you guys have a great day. See you soon.